Let me $1,000, Keela. Come on. Till Friday. I'm good for it till Friday, girl. I'm going to give it back.
I ain't got no money. I'm low right now.
I'm low right now. That's when you know somebody really got money. Yeah, I'm low right now, bro. I ain't really got it right now to give it to you. People will, man, they will have it and will not give it up.
They've had all kind of excuses. Well,
I'm low right now. Yeah, I'm right now. And then the person, you got that person that give you we call it the cry talk. Trinidad, we call it cry talk. You ask them for money and they hit you with the cry talk. Yo, let me have money now. Boy, things rough right now, you know. I had that thing going on. The doctor tell me I had to pay. I'm coming insurance it, and you know the insurance ain't covering it, so I had to give this. And so they say my left knee need operation. They're gonna take the other kneecap and put it on the left one. So then I had to go on eBay and see if they have kneecaps for sale, because the doctor say they run. And then you hear this whole story. Like, now, dude, you know what? Never mind.
Say no.
I don't want the money. I'm always giving you the cry talk, but people are stingy. Stingy. But welcome back to the Unignorant Podcast, your favorite Christian podcast, helping you to be unignorant about God and giving you practical advice for living this Christian life. Bars. I be spitting bars, Keela. You don't...
Okay.
She said, okay. Don't take it seriously. Just because you rhymed a little word in your little intro, don't mean you got to drop an album. Disrespectful, bruh. But yo, we talking about not being stingy as a Christian. Don't be a stingy Christian. And I'm gonna be very transparent this episode. You know why? Because I've come a long way, and it's not my fault. I grew up by myself. You know, I was on my own. I ain't had my dad and my mom. They was on drugs.
In the streets.
I was living alone, you know, so everything was mine as a child growing up. From the age of one, I was by myself. God took me out, got saved at four. What? You was living hard life from young, brother. No, but I growing up, I was by myself, so I was very stingy. So whatever came in, like if my mother gave me money, it was mine. I didn't have to share with my brothers or sisters, you know, and I was very stingy, very cheap. I ain't gonna lie. Is there a difference between stingy and cheap?
Yeah.
I was both. See that? God has delivered me. I ain't gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I was the type, if I had five pieces of gum, because I loved baseball, I needed all five of those pieces of gum to be in on the corner of my mouth like it's tobacco, like a baseball player. And I remember my boy growing up, and he always reminds me of this story. He said, bro, can I get a piece of gum? I said, nah, bro. I need all of these. Yeah. It's five pieces. Oh, remember Bubble? Was it Bubble Yum? Bubble
Yum.
Yeah, Bubble Yum.
The thick ones.
The big, yeah.
Yeah.
I need all five of those on the side of my mouth like it's tobacco. And my man just wanted one piece of gum, bro.
Like, one piece would make a difference.
Just to give him a little flavor in his mouth. That's all he... breath would stink because Chris ain't help him. You know what I'm saying? Like, what kind of friend is that? You know what I mean? Like, he should have not been my friend at all. But I was very stingy. I'm not going to lie. If I had $5 and you asked for one... I'm not giving you that dollar. No, you're not getting it. Because I'm thinking, man, I'm losing a dollar. And then those times, you didn't know when another $5 is coming your way. So if I had five, you asked for one? Nah, bro, I ain't really got it right now, bro. Yeah. Then I'm going to have to store eating all kinds of stuff. I'm wrong. I was wrong. But that was the old me.
That's the old you. Praise the Lord, you're saved.
That
now.
Was the old me. But, you know, money allows us to purchase things we need and want. And the more money we have, sometimes we just go out and get more and possess more. But money, we have to understand that money is a tool. Money is a tool, and we are to manage it and don't let it manage us.
Amen.
Or should I say, duh, money is a tool that we are to control so it doesn't control us.
Same thing.
Same thing. But, you know, I just wanted to sound deep. I just wanted a deep moment so we could make a clip. No? All right. Anyway, how many times is money mentioned in the Bible, Keela? Because you acting like you don't want to talk this episode. You're just sitting there looking at me.
You're not in the audience.
You acting like you're in the audience. You buy a ticket for this podcast? You are part of the podcast. You sitting there looking at me, chuckling and laughing. You are in the show, girl. You are not in the audience. What you got? Come on now.
Did you know that...
What happened?
There are roughly 2,350 verses concerning money in the Bible.
Wait, how many?
2,350 verses concerning money. That's twice as many verses about faith and prayer combined.
Mm.
Jesus had a lot to say about money. Nearly 15% or 29 times over the four Gospels, Jesus spoke about money and possessions.
Okay.
So 15% of the conversation that Jesus had was about money. So it's safe to say that God wants us to be generous. If he mentioned it over 2,000 times, Christians are called to live a generous life. We are called to give and not be stingy. God expects his children to be generous. He's inviting us into a life of generosity. So what does it mean to be generous? Generosity means being kind and willing to share or help others without expecting anything in return. And that's a little difficult for a lot of people to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you said, by nature, we're just selfish.
Selfish.
It's just that's just the sin nature in us.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Just selfish. Even when you're born again, you still got to change your mind and be like, okay,
yeah,
I'm saved now.
Yeah.
I got to, you know, switch my mind from being all about me and start to think about someone else.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I mean, I was born again, but it took a while before I gave my first offering.
How long did it take?
I ain't gonna lie. It was like, you know what? This man ain't getting my money. I don't care how much he talk about he loved the Lord. Nah, he good. Look at that nice suit he got on. He don't need my money. I'm over here wearing jeans and a tie and shirt to church. No.
But the church is perceived as money hungry, though. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. Because
right.
On social media and, you know, and just going to church on a regular basis, you see all these things about pastors, mm-hmm. you know, talking about money. All they talk about is money.
Right. But I think there's a, like you said, a misconception about church and money. But I understand why some people, you know, believe the church is about money. Because there are some cringy giving church systems yes. out there that yes. I haven't witnessed
yes.
on my own. Yes. I've witnessed this
I have to, yes.
on my own. One thing I've witnessed that I did not like, and we're going to talk about it. I got about five of them because I didn't want to forget. I got about six, actually. But I didn't want to forget them. So here are some of the cringe giving church systems that I've seen. One of them is raise your offering in the air.
Mm.
Now, here's why that's cringy. What if you ain't got no offering that day? Now everybody hit a hand in the air. And now you got to pretend like you got a dollar in your hand. So you now put up your fists like you about to start the revolution. But you ain't got no money in your hand. But you got to pretend.
Yeah.
That you got a few dollars in your, because why? It's you're in a row. Everybody, you feel like everybody behind you could see. Wow, yeah. He didn't raise his hand. God, you know, give him a few dollars. You know, damn, he ain't got no money. Damn, what? I mean, he in church. He's supposed to help out the church, and he ain't giving no money. Every Sunday, he sit there the same way, with the same church, with the same suit on, and don't even give. What's wrong with him? People, you feel like yeah. you're being judged.
Yeah, and it makes people uncomfortable because yes. what if you generally don't have any
right.
money?
So there, so
everybody's looking at you now like, oh,
there shouldn't be any reason to raise your offering in the air for you to pray over it. I could keep it in my pocket and you should be able to pray over my offering.
Yes.
But I did see one time, he said, raise your hand, put your offering in the air. And I looked up, I said, let me see what he does during this time. I ain't gonna close my eyes. And he was looking around. He was looking around to see how many people raised their hand. I'm sorry, but that's what I saw. I'm just telling it like it is.
There's some crazy practices out there. And it can, as you said, I can see why people hold back or don't want to give, because I blame the pastors, to be honest. The ministers, like, chill. I'm not saying that people shouldn't give, but when you act crazy with giving, it makes people not want to give. Like, for example, when I went to a church once in New York, in Harlem, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Shout out to Harlem right? right quick. You heard Harlem.
So we went to church and my aunt was actually getting married. So, you know, we had to go to church. It was a small wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to church before, and then they were going to do the ceremony right after church. So we're in church, and it was time for the giving.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a true story. The pastor got up on the mic, and he just closed the door. No one is to leave the building at this moment.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, sit down. It's time to give. I was like, oh.
It's like a robbery.
Right? Then he said, and this is what really got me. He was like, get those who are in the bathroom and have them come out here now. It's time to give.
Oh, yeah.
And this man went on and on. And like, he held us hostage until he got the offering that was satisfactory to him in his mind.
Yeah, this was a stick up without a gun. This was
so my question was that really giving or was that robbery?
Yeah.
I felt violated.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, ooh, this is
And now
crazy.
You feel like if you don't give,
yes.
he's going to even get even more. Now you're really going to pull a gun out.
Yes. And it wasn't even a large church where, you know, you could say, okay, if half the people don't give, then, you know, it's good. But people are just trying to survive in life. Yeah.
Trying to make ends meet.
You are like literally mm-hmm. robbing people and forcing them to give and making them feel fearful and be afraid of God because you're telling them if they don't give, God's going to get them.
Mm.
Like where in the scripture do you see God's going to get you if you don't give? Right. And I just sat there, but I was coming from a church where we were taught to give biblically. Mm-hmm. And so I just sat there. I'm not going to lie. I didn't give a dime because I'm like, you're not going to rob me today.
Right.
Ask me to give off my own free will. Let me volunteer my giving.
Yeah.
Don't force me and make me feel like I'm under compulsion. Mm-hmm. And if I don't, God's going to get me.
Yeah.
That's not scriptural.
No. Another cringe giving church system that I've seen and I've witnessed in California. And I've seen this at other churches too, but this is the one. At a very prominent preacher in California, he was also on that reality show, Churches of L.A. Was it Churches of L.A.? Or Preachers of L.A.
L.A.
Yes. And so this was what happened at this service. When they collect the offering and they say, we have a $1,000 line.
Oh, yeah.
A $500 line and a $100 line. And then they say it like this. And everybody else could just join that line. Just join in the back. Just join that line over there. So now you're on the line that everybody knows you got less than $100 to give.
Yeah.
Like, what?
That's crazy.
What? Now I'm feeling awkward. And then if you don't have, you're not getting on any of the lines. Mm-hmm. And everybody could see, because remember, you get online and you got to come back to your seat. And now you're sitting there and they're looking at you like, oh, so you ain't got up and join none of these lines. Or you on the line that's less than 100. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like this is going on. Another cringe one. I saw once, and this is somewhere downtown. I think it was downtown Manhattan. Not downtown Manhattan, but like uptown Manhattan. The gentleman took the offering, continued the service, continued speaking. The guy came back out from the back, or the deacon or one of them came back out from the back while he was preaching, went into his ear the way they told George Bush that a plane hit the building and he turned to the side. You remember that?
Yes.
I don't know if you see. Can you see what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes.
And he turned and he went, oh, yeah? All right, well, he closed his Bible. Boom. All right, let me get the bucket. Give me the bucket. Give me that bucket. Give me two of them. Give me two buckets. Now, we just had a counting of the offering. And y'all could do better. This is no good. If you want to keep these doors open, no, close the door. Shut the door. Nah, y'all going to give. And I'm sitting there like, whoa, what is going on? I just gave the best that I could. And then if you look at the congregation, ain't nobody was in there bawling, bro. Yeah. Like people really, you could tell like living that hard life and trying to make ends meet. And here you are making people feel bad for not giving.
And people will give because they want to please God sometimes in their minds. They're like, okay, if I give, God's going to bless me because I need a blessing. And so it comes off as though you're paying for the blessing.
Right.
And here's my philosophy. If there's anyone in the Bible who had a right to charge for a blessing, it was Jesus.
Come on.
And he never did. So if Jesus is not charging people for a blessing mm-hmm. or to heal them or to make them whole or to set them free from demons or to do anything for people, if Jesus is not charging, then we don't have a right to charge people or make people feel like they can never receive the blessing of God, because God was blessing us even before we were born again.
Right.
So now that we're born again, why do we feel like we have to pay for it?
Right.
And now people, we don't want to give now because it's like we feel like we have a gun to our head all the time. Now, should we give? Absolutely. Should we be stingy? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And despite all of these church abuses of money and finances and giving, God has called us into a generous life. Mm-hmm. Because the idea of giving didn't come, or it wasn't created by man. Mm-hmm. It was created by God. And God is the ultimate giver.
Yeah.
And he gave his son, Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate gift.
Yeah.
The ultimate act of generosity is God giving his only begotten son for our sins.
Right.
So why do we now feel like we have to force people or make them feel guilty. If God was willing to give his own son, why do we make people feel like they're never going to be blessed if they don't give? Give to the standard that we have set in the church. Because what is generosity? What is really giving? What is there a monetary amount to say, yes, this is, I'm going to get blessed now because I gave $100, as you said, for the $100 line.
Right.
So now I'm blessed. What's the degree of $100?
Right, right.
What's the degree for the $500? Yeah. What's the degree for the $600? Yeah. So how do we measure that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you only give $100, you want to get half the blessing, you know what I'm saying, half the healing that you believe for.
It doesn't make any sense.
If you gave $200, then you'd have got both legs healed, but now you got to be one leg is healed. But I got one more that I want to mention. And this is by I've watched this preacher. This is another prominent preacher from Baltimore and now preaching in Atlanta. We ain't gonna mention nobody's names. But I remember he was at a conference that I went to, sat up right up front, and he's preaching, man. I mean, he's preaching good. I'm feeling, you know, feeling inspired and encouraged, you know. And then he got to the end and he said, "All right, I wanna pray for y'all." So we're like, "Okay, good. Go ahead and pray, sir." But then he goes, "But I want to pray," because he was talking about the bones and the body not being broken, because the scripture talks about the bones not being broken, but they were referring to Jesus. So he says now that I want to pray a prayer over you. So your 220, I believe he said 20, your 220 bones are not broken in your body. Come on down here right now. And I want to pray that special prayer for $220. I'm going to pray that prayer over you. I saw people running down. Let me tell you, when he said that, I shut down. I was like, "Whoa, what? You asking for $220 for the bones?
A dollar per bone?
Hold on, hold on, because you say that dollar per bone, but hold on." People ran down there. I saw this one lady, man. I felt so bad for her. She was counting her money. People get online and they put their money into the bucket at the time. I was so pissed off. I remember passing his tape because then he was in the back at the end of the service signing his book and all this stuff, you know, and people lining up. And I'm just looking at him like, and I'm just shaking my head like, "Bro, you're a crook. And I know you're a crook." Here's why I know he's a crook. That same day, I said, "Man, how many bones is actually in the body?" So, you know, you go and Google it, right? You know, and I went to the Google. There's actually 206 bones in the adult body. He was praying for $220.
Jeez.
That was robbery. And this is why some people don't want to give in the church. So I get it. Another instance and I'm done. There's just one. We're going to call them all out on this podcast.
Bring it on, Chris.
One more. Charging a substantial amount of money to come to your church to preach because you're famous. But aren't you a man of God or a woman of God? I'm talking about someone that is very well known. I mean, books and everything, charging $100,000 to come preach. And as a newborn Christian, I couldn't understand, so basically he won't come to our church because we're not going to give him that amount of money. And then you had another prominent preacher, female preacher, TBN all the time, Word Network, all this, charging by the hour. They tried to get her to come to a conference at a certain church I knew of, and she was charging by the hour, like $300 for the hour or something like that. So she's now going to pray over the whole church, take my time.
Yep.
I'm preaching for five hours. Y'all going to get all this that I got, right?
Here's the thing. When pastors or preachers charge by the hour or charge to go minister the word of God, it limits their obedience. Because if God instructs you to go somewhere that can't afford to pay you, you won't go because they can't pay your fee. So it limits your obedience. And if you go to church, if you just, let's preach the gospel. If people don't bless you, God will make it up somewhere else.
Right.
He's never going to leave you without.
Right.
So preach the gospel. Don't charge a fee. Just let God use you, because there may be a church that really needs to hear what you have to say so they can grow.
Right.
But they will never get to hear it because they can't afford you. So your obedience is not limited. God can't use you where he really wants to use you because you are now blocked into the box of money.
Right. Because if I, for instance, if you don't have the 100,000, then I'm not coming to your church.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, God needs you, wants to use you at that church at that time. But because you're so caught up in the fame And because you're caught up in how much you can get, you won't go. So it's not really about preaching the gospel to people then. It's about the money.
It's about the money. Mm.
So these are tactics that men have used and women have used in the church to get more money out of people, and which people now don't feel like giving. But like you said, God wants us to be givers. He wants us to be generous with our money, right? So it's important to know that the church does need money. An actual church really needs money to run. It needs money for the lights. It needs money to, maybe it's a mortgage. Maybe they're renting. Maybe they're leasing the property, right? So there's reason, you know, we need another van so we could pick up some people, pick up some of the mothers of the church, pick up some of the youth of the church. So there's reasons for how we need money. It's a tool to keep this church going. But then you have some men and women that get into the pulpit and abuse the people and abuse the lack of knowledge of how we are to give.
And I just want to say that not all churches are out just to get your money. Right. There are churches that are really doing ministry and really helping the community and really helping people. And those are the grounds that you should give into. Those are the good soil that you should sow into. So don't let the few bad that you see or the few abuses of finances that you see in the church stop you from being generous to the good churches.
Yes.
Because there are good pastors and there are good churches that are out there that want to help people. And you cannot be stingy because you've been abused. Ask God what you should give. So what is the biblical way of giving? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8, it says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seed will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Mm-hmm. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Remember, the more you give, the more God gives to you. You don't have to worry about not having enough, because when you live a generous life, God will make sure you are taken care of. Mm. So who decides what you should give? You do.
Right.
It's not the pastor. Right. It's not the evangelist. It's not the prophet. You decide in your heart what you're going to give.
Right. The problem is that some of the preachers have become salespeople.
Yes.
And salesmen and women. And telling you why you need to give more. And now you're under compulsion and you feel like, well, I was planning on giving $20, but now I feel like I should give the other $50 that I have in my pocket, but I was going to use that for, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you're going through this whole thing and it's like you prayed on it. God said, hey, give $20. And now because of the sales pitch,
yes,
if you want to call it that, the quote unquote sales pitch, now you feel like you got to give more.
And you should never give under pressure.
Right.
No one should pressure you to give. If you feel pressure to give, hold on to your money. Mm-hmm. You go home, talk to the Father about it, and have him direct you on how to give.
Right.
But the moment you're feeling pressure, now it takes away the joy of giving.
Right.
It takes away the cheerfulness.
Yes.
And now you're complaining, you're murmuring, you feel like you're being robbed, you're just having this uneasy feeling, and that's not cheerful.
Yeah.
How is that? That's not a gift that God wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're giving because somebody's pressuring you or giving you the sale pitch. Mm-hmm. God wants you to give freely from your heart.
Yeah.
And also giving, being generous, I should say, is not just a matter about how much money you have. It's about the heart.
Right.
Because you can have a lot and give, not because you really want to, but because it looks good to people. So, or you can have a little bit and you give all you have, just like the lady who had the two mites, the lady who was in the temple, Jesus sat down and watched how people were giving. And all the rich people came in and they were just giving. And the lady came in and she only had a small amount and she gave. And God said she gave more than those who had money. Because it's not just about, giving to show or giving because you're under pressure. It's about the condition of your heart. So if you're not going to give to God willingly and cheerfully, then keep your money. Keep it. Yeah. Because you've already gotten your reward.
Yeah, yeah.
You've already gotten your reward. So if you're going to give, and we should give, God has invited us into generosity.
Yes.
And it's not easy all the time to give because we are always thinking about our own selves. We are by nature naturally selfish, or we were never taught how to give, and so we hold on to our money thinking, "I need this for myself." But if you release it to God by by being generous, he will make sure you're taken care of, because that's what his word says, and he doesn't lie. Mm-hmm.
I like how Paul dealt with it, right? Because Paul wasn't getting, I guess, any money from them. And 1 Timothy 5:17, he says, elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, right? And elders talking about preachers, pastors, right? Especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. So here's the scriptures telling us that preachers are to be paid.
Yes.
Pastors are to be paid. I really believe that if someone is preaching of the gospel, they should be taken care of. Because there is nothing like a pastor having to work a 9-to-5.
Yes.
And then having to come preach. Like, people don't understand what it takes to really even create a sermon. It takes hours sometimes. Hours, right? And so if a pastor is not working, it gives him time to spend time with God, spend time studying in the scriptures, and really hearing from God and knowing what he should, you know, tell the congregation on Sunday. It goes on to say, for verse 18, for the scripture says, you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. And in another place, those who work deserve their pay. Paul didn't demand payment, even though he deserved it, for the sake of the gospel. And we can look at 1 Corinthians 9:1, right? He deserved payment, but he never pressured them to give or tell them, if you don't give, God gone, and you ain't going. He was like, oh, for the sake, I'd rather get the gospel to you.
Yeah.
I don't want to mess this thing up.
Giving doesn't necessarily, as I said before, doesn't have to be about the amount. God just wants you to be generous in every area of your life, whether it's your time, whether it's your support, your resources, and especially with your money. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 4 says, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. The church of Macedonia was very poor. They gave of their free will. Notice that Paul said they gave of their free will. What kind of will? Their free will. They were under pressure. They begged Paul. They actually begged Paul and said, Paul, I know you do. I heard that Jerusalem is doing a work and people are giving to the gospel. I beg you, let us be a part of it. Mm. That's the attitude God wants us to have.
Yeah.
They had joy in giving. Your gift and your giving should come from a place of joy.
Yes.
When you give to the homeless, it should come from a place of joy. When you give to someone who is in need, your brother or sister, it should come from a place of joy.
Yes.
No, and it doesn't have to be, a lot. People may say, well, when I get money, I'll give. When I get $1 million, I'll give. If you can't give up $20, you're not going to give up $1 million. Because it's a matter of the heart. It's a training of the heart.
Yes.
So it doesn't have to be a lot for you to give or help someone else. It's basically getting out of yourself and saying, I'm going to extend. I'm going to give sacrificially. Sometimes you have to give sacrificially.
Yeah.
Knowing that a person is in need more than you.
Yeah.
You can go without Chick-fil-A for a week.
Yeah.
To make sure that that person, your brother or sister, is okay. In the book of Acts, they sold everything they had so that there would be no lack among them, that everyone would be okay.
Yes.
That everyone was taken care of.
Yeah.
We don't have that mentality in the church anymore. It's like me, mine, and mine. Yeah. Me and I and mine.
Yeah.
We don't look out for each other. You see your brother, sister struggling? Look out for that person.
Yeah. Especially if you are attending a church that comes off real bougie. Like a bougie church. And they kind of look down if you're struggling. Like, I did not invite, the old church I was going to, I did not invite certain people from the hood. Because I knew they did not have a suit. I knew they did not have a tie. And they would be looked down on by certain people. Not everybody.
Yeah.
But by certain people. Because I went through it. If I didn't wear a certain shirt or tie, people would ask me, hey, you coming to church like that? During the service. Like I'm in the sanctuary. You're asking me, you're coming to church like this. I'm here. How about that? I remember I told one lady one time, she turned around to me and she said, "Where's your tie?" Just like that, like with this disgust, like, mm-hmm. "Where's your tie?" I had on a button-down shirt. You would swear I was in there with a tank top. I had on a button-down shirt. And she said, "Where's your tie?" What are you telling me? That you're supposed to wear a tie all the time, right? I'm not trying to get off on, mm-hmm. but I'm showing on how there's certain people, when your church is bougie, you can't even just come as you are. Because people don't have.
And even if a tie was required, even if, say it was required by the Bible, mm-hmm. even if the person's not wearing a tie, that should be an indication that maybe they couldn't afford a tie.
Exactly.
So maybe you should have said, okay, I'm going to bless my brother and sister with a tie.
There you go.
So instead of looking down.
There you go.
Stretch your hand yeah. out to help.
Yeah. And that's where Acts, I love how Acts, they all came together and sold things. So then those in need should have. So I felt like in that time, and I couldn't invite this person because I know they don't have a suit. And I'm like, man, they wear suits here. He's from the hood. But yeah. I'm over here ministering to him. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to minister to him when I see him in the hood and in the street. So,
as I said before, it's not something that is easy for everyone to do. So what are some of the practical ways, Chris, mm-hmm. that we can become generous? Mm-hmm. We can train ourselves to be generous.
And like you said, giving is mentioned all throughout. There's a few scriptures I want to throw out before I give you the practical list. Deuteronomy 15:10. Isaiah 58:7, Proverbs 28:27, Proverbs 11:24. There's so many scriptures on giving. I mean, you literally can go on Google and say, give me all scriptures on giving, right? And there's tons. And we all have to remember that everything belongs to God.
Amen.
Everything belongs to God. So if Psalms 24, I'm going to read this one. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." It's the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. So we belong to God. So that money that we have belongs to God. It is not ours. We are just managers over it. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's a super of the building. He don't own the building, but he got to look after it and make sure he manages it well. And that's the same thing with us. We are to manage our money well, because it belongs to God. So if he trusts you with 1,000, you take care of that 1,000. If he trusts you with 5,000, you know, I'm going to go higher. 10,000, right? 20,000. If he gives you 1,000,000, you got to manage that money properly. So if God say, "Hey, I put 1,000,000 in your hand, I'm going to need you to bless so-and-so with 100,000. Or I'm going to need you to give to this church to help build up." You got to give it up.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't belong to you, right? Amen. So we're just managers of the money. Don't allow money to become your God. That has happened to me, where it's all about getting the paper. You know, they talk about it now, securing the bag, getting to the bag. But remember, that bag does not belong to you. Belongs to God as believers, because we can get caught up as well.
Yes.
Securing the bag, and it's my bag. And meanwhile, you need to be ready to give if God needs you to give from that bag.
Yes.
Right. So what are some of the practical ways? I want to read this scripture. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I have a scripture here that I want to read really quick. Luke 12, verse 20. It was talking about the rich fool. And basically, I'm going to give you the Chris Williams version. He had all the money. He had all the flock. And he had all the wheat and grains that he needed. And he was like, "Man, I ain't got nowhere to put all this stuff. I got so much. I'm so rich. You know what? I'm going to build up. I'm going to break down these and build up more so I could just live, be merry, and just eat," right? This is Chris Williams, broken up, paraphrasing version, right? But then Luke 12, verse 20 says, "But God said to him, 'You fool.'" Let me tell you something.
When God calls you a fool.
When God called you a fool, bro.
You're
like,
a fool.
Like, he ain't made a mistake. Like, you a fool, bro. Like, God is calling you a fool. He goes on to say, "You will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?" Verse 21, "Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." Amen. My God. Amen. God is saying here, so this money that you have that you want to build up and you want to store up and you want to live for you, no. Have this relationship with me. Like, it's more important for you to have a rich relationship with me, but you only having a rich relationship with your money, and you a fool. Because you're about to die, right? So what are 5 practical ways that you can become generous? And this helped me.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't always the person who gave, but now I can give and I love to give. And then sacrificial giving took a while, but but I got it. If I have, man, and I'm down low and you need, I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
Right? And don't be blowing up my phone because y'all hear me talk about it. I'm going to get it.
Like, Chris.
I heard you on the podcast. Look, I need my dog. They need surgery on his left leg. They said they're going to have to cut the leg off. But here's five practical ways. The people do that, you know.
You said on the podcast that you was generous.
Well, hold on now. I'm going to have you to fill out this application first, what you need this money for. Fill this out. Send it back to me. I'm going to call my lawyer to look over it and see if we can do that. Five practical ways for you to become a better giver or be more generous. Realize that the money that comes into your hands is not yours. It belongs to God. That's something that you could just realize. You know what? This is not my money, so I want to give, right? Two. Study out scripture that talk about giving and meditate on those scriptures. Get those scriptures in your heart. So now when someone say, hey, man, I need, you know, you are ready to give because now you understand that God wants you to be a giver. Three, start small. Gradually increase over time, right? You ain't got to go out and, you know what, I'm going to drop, you know, 10 grand on this right now. You know, I'm trying to get this blessing, you know what I'm saying? Because I heard when you give big, you get big, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to come up, you know, God help me out. But start small, you know, even if you give $2.
Yeah.
Even if you give a dollar, my mother used to give. You know, I want to talk about my mother real quick. May she resting in peace right now, amen. But you know when people used to, you know, deliver the food, the Chinese food, my mother used to only give $1. And sometimes two.
On this, a good day.
This is a grown man who drove his bike over. It wasn't like no little kid who delivered. It was grown men, Asian men, and not a man. I said, Mom, how much you mean? I give him $1. I said, Mom, you gave him $1. What? That's too much. What you mean? Like, no, like, give him $5. That is too much. I paid $30 for this food. I must give him $5. And she would go in, you know what I mean? But start small in your giving, right? Or here's what you can do, too. Bless somebody for no reason.
Yes.
Find a friend or even a coworker and just bless them.
Buy them coffees.
Yeah. But I think it's one thing to buy the coffee, but it's another to give, right? So you could try both. Do both. Right? Buy them the coffee. Now, they single and you married. Now, let's make sure we don't get things, you know.
Don't buy nobody no coffee.
Don't buy nobody on your job. Then they, you know, the next, oh my God, I think he liked me, you know. Then we got some drama in the marriage. We don't want that. But we're talking about just doing kind
acts
of giving. Thank you. All right. As you saw, I got stuck. There was a glitch in my brain. There was a glitch in the matrix. Right? But just giving on purpose for no reason, just say, hey, I just wanted to, you know, bless you with this. Someone at church you see, put some money in their hand, you know, put $5 in their hand. Start small.
Yeah.
Or go with the 10. If you see me, look, start with the 10 with me. I will receive it. Amen. In the name. That's another thing too. You have to know how to get, yes. How to receive.
Yes.
Because sometimes you, and because of pride, you, oh yes. No, I'm good, brother. I don't need, no, you let that person get their blessing.
Yes.
Don't mess up that person's blessing because they are blessing you. Allow yourself to receive, put away your pride and receive it.
Yes.
I know, look, I don't have no pride in that area. If you want to give to the podcast, we have the links. I could boldly tell you we have the links because it costs money to run a podcast. Yes. And we want to grow. We want to get video going. We need cameras. We need lights. We need a space, right? So if you would like to give to this podcast, we want to thank you. We did not do this just for you to give.
No.
But it just, no. We all understand it takes money to do to run a podcast, to run a church, right? And the last thing that you can do, purposely practice sacrificial giving. It's when times is rough and it's low, but you're going to give anyway. You're going to give to the church, maybe. Maybe you could find a friend, and maybe they're in a worse situation than you are, and you could still give out of your lack. God's going to bless you for that. I believe God can bless you for that. And then here's a bonus, right? I wrote bonus. I don't know. It's a simple bonus. When people hear bonus, like, oh, he got a bonus. Wait a second. Let me stick around for this one. I got a bonus tip for you right now. Let me get this to you. Basically, pray and ask God to make you a giver. Yes. That's what I did. I said, Lord, help me to give. I really want to give. I want to be a part of giving. I don't want to be stingy and cheap anymore. Help me to release the funds you have given me so I could give it to someone else.
I just want to add on to one of the points you made about studying the scriptures that talk about giving and meditating on these scriptures. When you do that, when you meditate on the scriptures and you go in and you search the word of God and see how he wants giving to be done, then when other preachers or fleecers or false teachers or false prophets come, you will know that's not true. So it helps you to identify when you're being robbed.
Yes.
It helps you identify when you're being fleeced.
Come on.
But if you don't know the scripture, you're going to fall for anything.
And I'm going to add to that. I'm going to add to that. Yes, I know you're not done, but I'm going to add to that. Don't put nobody on a pedestal.
There you go.
When you put these preachers on a pedestal, they could tell you anything and manipulate you and get money out of your hand. And then also you need to know the scriptures so they can't get that money out of your hand. So these famous preachers that you see on TV or even on YouTube now, they could say anything to you and you go, oh, I got to give to this. No, you don't.
You don't.
You're planting a seed in bad ground. Mm. You're being robbed.
Yes, absolutely.
So meditating on the scriptures and don't put anybody on a pedestal. So this way you will not be robbed in the kingdom. Come on, somebody.
And don't forget, God loves a cheerful giver.
Yeah.
So make sure that when you're giving, it's coming from your heart and you're giving it out of a joyful spirit. Not grudgingly because Chris and Akilah said to give, so I'm going to give because I don't want to get in trouble with God. No.
Give
because you love God. Give because you see it as an act of worship to God.
Come on.
Give because you know it's the right thing to do. God gave us a great example by giving his son for us. So let's be Christians and follow his example by living a generous life.
Amen. Thank you for closing that out right there. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Praise God. So that's all we have for you this week. We want to thank you for listening. Please make sure to go and rate the podcast and leave a review. We need reviews so the Apple and Spotify algorithms can say, oh, this is a podcast that other people need to listen to. So please help us out. And why don't you give? Give a review. See, you giving right there. Amen. See how that all ties in? The Holy Spirit has dropped that in my spirit. And he said, if you left a review, you will receive an abundance. Amen. Hey, glory to God. In 24 hours, you will receive an abundance in your life. So go ahead and leave that review for us. Come on, help us out as we continue to bring you the Unignorant Podcast. We want to thank you once again for listening. And remember, stay unignorant. We out.